Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat is daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So we got all the way up to the Halak of Mishnah, and we begin with Nochri Shabbal Chabot. So we've been talking about what it is that you're allowed to do to be goring, perhaps, kivu of a fire, to prevent a fire from spreading on Shabbos. How about if the fire department comes? So a goy shows up to put out the fire. You don't say to him, put out this fire quick, do this, do that. No, you don't have to, but you don't have to tell him, don't put out this fire. You are not mechuyev to see to it that a goy is shovet, unless, of course, it's avgacha, v'amatecha, but over here, we're talking about stam, a goy is doing, it's not your business. If he wants to put it out, let him put it out. Avakatan shebalachabot, however, you are mechuyev to prevent a child from putting out the fire, which is interesting. We're going to see in the Gemara why that would be true. And therefore, ein shomin lo, in a case where there's a fire, you're allowed to say around the goyim, anybody who does something for me to take care of this fire is not going to lose, meaning I'm going to be giving him a good sized tip. So, name him is Sayyale. So, is this a Mishnah Raya? No, so it says over here, you can't tell him to go ahead and put it up. Okay, maybe they change Shvita to Elohim. Mashma, you don't tell him, go put it out. But you could say, like, indirectly, you could say, Kol HaMechabe Eino Mafsid. Nah, come on, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah also says that you don't tell him, you don't have to tell him, don't put it out. Right? But you, that Mashma only, you don't tell him, don't put it out, but you can't encourage him to put it out. So, Al Techabe Lo Amri, but that means you can't encourage him by saying, Kol HaMechabe Eino Mafsid either. So, obviously, the Mishnah is not going to be a source for dealing with this problem, because the Mishnah, one way or the other, is going to be soicer itself. So we're going to have to learn that it wasn't coming to address this. There was once a story where in Rabbi Yosef ben Simoi's chotzer, a fire broke out. This was in the town of Shichin. And the fire department, the official fire department of Tzipori, which generally wouldn't care about Jewish homes, but over here this was the government, and the Anche Gistra Shal Tzipori came to be Mechabe, because it happened to be that this Yosef and Samoy worked for the government, and he was an Apotropa Shal Melechaya, and he refused to allow the fire department from Tzipori to put out the fire, and a big nace happened for him. All of a sudden, it started to pour, and it poured so hard that it just put everything out. Now, after Shabbos, he sent every fireman a tip of Shtei Shloim, and to the fire chief, he sent 50 slayim, because he felt that it was like very a slap across the face that they had come all the way from Tzipori to Sichin, and it would be very poorly received. That's the way he treated them. Anyway, when the Chachamim heard, they said there was no need for him to do that. There wouldn't have been a problem if the fire department had put it out, because the Mishnah says, Nochri Shabbat HaChabot, Ein Omrim Lo Kabe, Va'al Techabe. Brucey, please mute yourself. And wear a mask when you're on Zoom, for heaven's sakes. Ava katan shebalechabot. On the other hand, ein shomim lo bipnei sheshvitato aleihem. Wait a minute. So then that means that you see clearly from a Mishnah, katan ochel mevelot beit din mitzuvin alav lafrisho. I thought like we had a raya, not like that. This was the maisa that we had where in Yevamos. So they lost the keys to the Beis HaMedrash, and it turned out that they had left them in Rishus HaRabim. And so in order to get the keys, so they decided what they're going to do is have a bunch of kids go play in the Rishus HaRabim around where the keys are. And then somebody, one of the kids, will see the keys. He'll start playing with the keys. He'll come to the Beis HaMedrash, and you'll be able to open the Beis HaMedrash. So over there, apparently, they held that there's certainly no need to stop the kid from doing that. Rabbi Yochanan is no raya over there, because the Mishnah is talking about over here where obviously the katan sees the father is distraught. So what he's doing in order to help his father. So he's always doing it l'das aviv. So in that case, it's the equivalent of mamash encouraging him. That's not the same thing as preventing him from doing something that he's doing as part of his own business. Hold on a second. Yeah, are you saying that if somebody does something when they see that somebody is distraught, that that's considered to be doing it as if it's a shliach for that person? So then, I mean, the same thing should be true then if the fire department comes. So the kavatega beinachri. So you say the goy is doing it. He's doing it basically as a shliach of the Yisrael. So he's called ledaite the Yisrael. So that you're not allowed to do. So then, why over there does the Mishnah say it's okay? Lechora, it's basically the same idea. Nah, never. Believe me, the guy's not doing it for you. He's doing it for himself. He expects to get a big tip or whatever, but that's not called that you're encouraging him. He's got his own plans in it. And because of that, it would be Mutter Mashenke. The Katan is clearly thinking about you. Now, what are we going to do about Richie over here? I see that Richie figures that since Shabbos was out so late, nobody's going to care if he doesn't show up to the Daf Yomi. I don't know. Maybe what we should do is have a barrage of telephone calls to Richie, huh? And that way we'll get him out of bed. Well, we'll be merakim on him this morning. Okay, Doc.
What is Rebbe drinking today?
You're on. They got this new stuff, which is called, you know, the old monkey shoulder? They have now smoky monkey shoulder. It's not easy to get, but I'm telling you, it's like amazing stuff. You should really try it, Barney. It's special.
I'll be happy to chip in.
Doc, you're on, man, but unmute yourself. We don't hear you. Oh, boy, look at this. We got a new little kind of Richie Niggin in there. Kofin, thank you. Kofin ke'ara gabe haner. Now, as far as, again, how about preventing fires? Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. So what would you do in order to prevent them? Well, you'd be allowed to take a bowl and put that bowl over an open flame that looks like it's going to catch on to a piece of wood above it. Obviously, it doesn't mean you can put it over it and extinguish it. It means you put it over at a height that allows sufficient oxygen to the flame, but at the same time prevents the heat from reaching the flammable material. You'd also be allowed to take a bowl and put it over tso'ah shel katan, which seems to mean that if a child dirtied the floor, you'd be able to cover the excrement with a bowl. We asked this before, if you recall. What about if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, that you're not allowed to move things if it's not for a dover that is metaltel itself? And so, okay, so we answered over there. It's talking about where you're moving something anyway for tzorech, and then on the way, you would put it down there. Or you could put the bowl over an akrav. If there's a scorpion and you want to protect people in the house, you could put it over. Now, there's a number of different approaches to this, because it could be that it's only going aliba the Rebbe Shimon, and it's, since it's a malacha, it's Rikh Lagufa. It's warning me the internet's giving me problems again here. Hopefully you can still hear me. Even though it's a malacha, that's a malacha and it's Rikh Lagufa, so aliba the Rebbe Shimon, and only aliba the Rebbe Shimon. It's, in this case, even though normally holds it also to the Rabbanon, and in this case, because of the fact that you're doing it in order to prevent it from damaging people, so because of that, he would hold that it's mutter l'chatchila. That's one possibility. Another possibility is, remember that the specifically when it comes to tzeda, the intent to be tzad is part of what you're doing. In other words, I'm not really catching the thing. Preventing a thing from getting out is not catching it. Catching it is where that's the point, is that I am going to have it, which over here I don't have it. So it's not really an act of tzeda at all. And then we had yet another issue. The other issue is you're only chayev on tzeda, as we said earlier, on dovar shedarko to be nitzod. So that's the shayla. I mean, a scorpion, why would a scorpion be considered to be darko nitzod? Okay, so there's many different ways that this could work out, whether it's dafka libra Rabbi Shimon, could be it works out even in libra Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, we'll see more about this later. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, I can tell you that there was a maisa by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the city of Arab, and he did exactly that. He put a bowl over an akrav, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, well, I don't know, this guy may even be chayav a chiyav of a chatas. I'm not sure. Maybe he wasn't sure, you know, what the din was about whether it is a davar anitzod, or maybe he was questioning whether we go according to Rabbi Shimon, but whatever, he certainly was very machmer on it. So what are you guys just going around and being moderate like that? So here we had three Talmidei Chachomim that came to the house of Ovin from the town of Nashikya, And he was very mechabed, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. So he brought them out, the couches, you know, that you in Roman times, that you would sit on. And he treated them with great dignity. So they had their own couches and their own tables. And when it came to Rav Chanan Bar Rava, he didn't think Rav Chanan Bar Rava was such a great man. So he had him sit down on the floor, you know. And Rav Chanan Bar Rava was not very happy about that. So anyway, later on, Rav Chanan Bar Rava hears Rav Avin that he's teaching the Mishnah, our Mishnah. He's giving an explanation to his child. So he says, Altso'ah shel katan mipnei katan, that you're allowed to put a bowl over excrement of a child in order that the child shouldn't get filthy playing with his own so'ah. So Rav Chanan Bar Rava said, yeah, Avin, the idiot, teaches idiot pshatim to his son. What a stupid pshat is that in the Mishnah? Obviously, he was quite upset at the way that he was treated. So, you know, he calls his balabayat an idiot. And how does that make sense? Because excrement, a child's excrement is considered to be something that dogs will eat. And because of that, it's not even considered to be mukhs. And now don't try to tell me, but what do you mean? But it's noilad. I mean, it just got here now, right? When it comes to the din that you're only allowed to move something that is yours as far as you yourself are allowed to move. In other words, something you can't send out of the tchum if it's something that started out in your tchum. But when it comes to naharot ha-moshchin u-mayanot ha-novim, if you have water that's flowing and came from outside of your tchum, so you would say, okay, so then I'm not allowed to touch that on Shabbos, because basically it wasn't mukhan by Shabbos, because it couldn't come from outside of tchum. This is the reason that we have problems with packages nowadays that are delivered on Shabbat, because of the rapidity of transportation. They often come mechutz tchum. So if when it comes, however, to water, and you say, well, so wait a minute, so how can I even turn on my tap water if very possibly this comes from a reservoir that is outside of the tchum? That doesn't make any difference, because water that's flowing the whole time, they're considered to not have a tchum because they're in movement. And something, therefore, that's expected to be there is not considered to be mukta. And there's no problem, because it's absolutely predictable. It's awfully predictable that this child's going to have a dirty diaper sometime on Shabbos. So memela, you expect it, and therefore it's roy for clothing. So Rav Avin said to Rav Chanan, so how should I have taught the Mishnah? So he said, what you need to understand in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah was addressing your point, and by saying that for the child, you were completely off the wall. When the Mishnah said the words Tzoa Shel Katan, what it meant was excrement that is accessible to a child, not excrement of a child. And it was referring to basically Tzoa Shel Tarnagolim, which is not roy for dogs. And over there, since the child may get filthy with it, so then that's included in what the Mishnah said, Tzoa Shel Katan. For somebody to say, Tzoa Shel Katan mipnei ha-katan is stupid, because that's what the word Tzoa Shel Katan meant, obviously. It couldn't have been meant that it's the actual feces of the child. Wait a second. You're allowed to move disgusting things on Shabbos, because remember that the Chachomim allowed to move a Gerev Shel Re'iyah. So Gerev Shel Re'iyah, the portion of meaning, even though remember it's one of your munachim, a Gerev Shel Re'iyah is basically a chamber pot. So the Chachomim said that even though normally you'd have a chamber pot, it would be also to move and it would be considered to be a basis for Davar Ha'asur. In this case, it's not also to move, because they didn't want to answer something that is considered to be disgusting, to get it out of the way. So because of that, they said, we're not going to answer a mukta in terms of being a basis if it needs to be moved for people's covet. So then why can't I move the chicken over here, feces? I should be able to move. If you're going to tell me that the Geref Shalri means literally a chamber pot, and that means that I'm not allowed to actually handle the feces, I'm only allowed to handle the pot, and that's what they were matir, but they were not matir actually moving out the chicken feces. Iu gufe lo, and in this case, you would be actually moving it, and that's why the Mishnah is saying you can't move it, but what you could do is you could put a bowl over it or something, But that's not true, because wasn't there that famous story of a dead mouse that was found in the pharmacy of Rav Ashi, where he kept all of his spices and his things, and he told them, take the mouse out of there by picking it up by its tail. So obviously you can move the thing itself. It wasn't inside of a gerev. So gerev sharei is just a way of referring to the concept of repulsive items. So the cow, this dead mouse was a repulsive item. You were able to move it itself. So why isn't chicken feces considered to be a repulsive item? Says the Gemara, well, we're talking over here in the Mishnah about something that is in an actual garbage dump. If it's in an actual garbage dump, they were never matir actually moving it, because the whole idea of a gerev sharei was only in order to be shomer on the kovod habrias in a place where normally people would be turned off by having that around them. So that's in your living room or whatever, but certainly if you're on a garbage dump, what do you mean in a garbage dump? So then why are we worried about a child? What would a child be doing in a garbage dump? Katan ba'ashpa, my boy, le. No, you're right, not a garbage dump. It's in the yard. So what do you mean in the yard? If it's in the yard, that's just as disgusting as in your house. I mean, you don't need a bunch of guano in your yard. So why can't you move it over there? Chotzonami is a gerev sharei, isn't it? No, I mean, the garbage was in your yard. In other words, you have a compost heap over there, and you've been throwing these things in, and that's where it is. So over there, you can't move it, because all of that whole special can that you use for compost, that is something that is not called repulsive. That's what it's for, and it's only that you're worried that there's children that are playing in the yard now, so you want to make sure that they don't touch it. So then what's saying, you're allowed to cover it, but you're certainly not allowed to move it, because it's not a gerev sharei. Okay, the next thing we had was that you're allowed to put the bowl over an akrav. So you cover a scorpion. Now, obviously, the scorpion is not immediately dangerous, right? Because, I mean, I don't need to know that if I'm in an immediate danger that I'm allowed to protect myself. Obviously, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. You have to be mechalel Shabbos, even if it would be a chilul Shabbos d'oraisa. So what we're talking about over here seems to be that even though it's not actually dangerous, because I could simply move out of the room and see to it that I don't get stung, but since it is something that generally causes a tremendous amount of hezek, so I'm not mechuyev to do that. I can actually kill it. That's what you, well, I mean, I can actually put a bowl over it. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, you can actually kill it. Because, I mean, Mamon of Shabbat, if you hold, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi seems to be saying, if you hold that it boils down to Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, so what's the difference if you do Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa in terms of Tzeda, or you do Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa in terms of Shechita, sort of Netilat Neshama? Same idea. So the Mishnah doesn't mean only that you could put a bowl over it. You can also kill it. Moshe Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef, how can you say that you can kill it if the Braita says beferish, there's only five things that are so dangerous on Shabbos that you can kill even if they're not after you? So that would be the Zvuv Shebe'eretz Mitzrayim. That's that a type of very dangerous fly, but that is basically referred to in the Navi when he talks about the way that Mitzrayim is and Asher are going to come like the Zvuv bin Aharot, Mitzrayim, that must be that Zvuv. Or the Tzir'ah, which is in Ninveh, so it's kind of wasp. Or the type of Akrav that is in Chadayab. Or the Nachash, that's in Eretz Yisrael, which is in today's Ynet, a whole write-up about it. It's quite a dangerous snake, obviously, for the cover of the Daf Yomi. They have an actual picture of the incredible camouflage of this snake, which is why it's very dangerous. And a kelev shote b'chol mokom. And obviously a rabid dog, that is dangerous no matter where you'll find it. Now money. So here's what my kasha is. Look, who do you think this price is going according to, right? I mean, if it's going on Libra Rabbi Yehuda, and you're telling me that you're not in immediate danger, so then this is a d'oraisa, because he holds melach shein etzrich l'gufa chayev aleha, and therefore, why would he be matur if I'm not in danger? So it must be it's going on Libra Rabbi Shimon. And he holds that a melach shein etzrich l'gufa you're potter on. And nonetheless, he's saying, but to go so far as to say that l'chatchila, you're allowed to kill it, no, it has to be very, very dangerous. These are five very dangerous things. So, I mean, but does not include anything about a scorpion over here. So why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that the Mishnah means to be matur, even killing a scorpion? Rabbi Yirmiyah, excuse me, but you can't just bring up a braita. I never heard that braita mentioned as one of the braitas of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya. And remember that Kol Braita Lo Tadin Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya is not considered to be a real, reliable braita. So how do I know that this is a reliable braita? Dilma Mishabashtahi, maybe it's a messed up braita. Rav Yosef, well, I could tell you, I know for a fact that it happens to be a good braita. I was mekabel for my Rebbe. I was the one who taught it to people. And I was the one who taught it. I was the one who used it as a kasha on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And now, instead of trying to attack my braita, why don't you listen to my solution, okay? Because that's a lot more effective. So I also provided the solution. So anamitar atzinallah. And what I did is say that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was referring to, this is how Rashi understands it, Yeshua ben Levi is talking about where these things are chasing him. And he says, okay, if a scorpion is after you, so then you're allowed to kill it, you know? So Divrei HaKol, everybody would hold, you're allowed to kill it. So basically, it's something that could present an imminent danger. And because of that, the Hora'ot Pticha Be'esh are different. And you're allowed to kill it if it's after you. Mashenke, the Bryce is talking about it's not after you. So over there, it goes, Alib Rabbi Shimon, that it's only mutter to kill, because it's a Balakashena Tzricha Lagufa, normally would be Aser. The Rabbanu were matir if it's very dangerous. The Tani Tanaka made the Rav Baravuna, that Ahoreg Nechashim Va'akrabim B'Shabbat, Ein Ruach, Ein ruach chasidim nochemenu. I hope that the Rebbe is here hiding behind the Gabbai's picture, because this is a very important misnagdim and chasidim argument over here. So the chasidim, they're very unhappy with this guy. What are you running around killing things on Shabbos? Which was not a direct threat to you if they weren't attacking you. So Rava Baravuna said to the guy who said that, Braita, yeah, well, those Hasidim, I can tell you that the Ruach HaChomim is not Nocha from them. So they can complain as much as they want from their Hasidus. And I can tell you that we Misnagdim don't hold very much of those Hasidim. Because Adarabba, the guy's doing a wonderful thing in getting rid of dangerous things on Shabbos. Now, it seems to be that actually Rav Huna disagrees with his own son over here, with Rav of Baravuna, because this is Pliga de Ravuna, because actually Ravuna once saw a guy who was killing this wasp on Shabbos. So Ravuna said to him, ah, great. I am assuming that was the last wasp on earth, right? You got them all? You got them all? Fantastic. In other words, what the heck do you think you're accomplishing over here by killing this wasp? There's another million of them that are going to get into your window anyway. And therefore, like, what would we possibly be thinking is the heter for that? Tana Rabbana, nizdamnu lo nechashim va'akravim. Now, nizdamnu lo means that the guy is not going out to chase these. He happens to be walking along, minding his own business. Right in front of his feet, slithers a snake or a scorpion right in front of him, crossing the path. Now, he might continue walking and kill them before he even, like, changes his path. Or he might miss them. So now, if Haragan, if he ends up killing them and they had appeared in his way so that he wasn't even planning on killing them, that means that min hashamayim, it was put there for him to kill. Why? Because remember, megalgalin zchut al yedei zakai. So someone who is a Adam, who is finds favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So if something needs to be done in the world that is l'tovat ha-briyot, and this thing was dangerous, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it taken out. So this happened in order that he should be the one that was Zoche to take him out. If, however, it slithers right in front of him and goes on to the other side of the path, and he didn't kill them, so then it's a sign for him. What is the sign? That actually this was there in order to kill him, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes for him and saved him. But that means that actually there was a gezerah on him that he could have been killed by the snake. And because of that, he should be mefash resh b'maisav. He should figure out what he needs to be tshuva for. Omar ulav itema rabar bar b'chona omar b'chona. Let me just explain something. I mean, snakes cross the path all the time. Let's not get carried away over here. It's talking about specifically where that snake indicates that you are meant to be a target. So the snake stops, lifts up its head, and it hisses at you. So now you know you're a target. Fine, okay, that you could take as a simon. So it's been a shofim bo. Omer Rebbe Bar Kahana, one time we were in the Beis HaMedrash, and Rebbe was there, and a snake fell into the Beis HaMedrash, and this guy from Nayot, he got up and he killed it. And Rebbe said, aha, a guy just like him got him. So now it's not clear what that means. Is it sort of like Rebbe was saying, boy, that was a dangerous snake, but let me tell you, this guy is a dangerous guy. He's just as bad to snakes as snakes are to us. So he was sort of giving him a tzalash? Or was Rebbe saying, this guy himself is a snake. He's a Russia, and he's Bechal Shabbos. It was not clear. I don't know what the tonality was of Rebbe. So what did he mean? Because he's a hero, like Shapiro, but he did the right thing. Or he was saying just the opposite, Tashma. Well, we had Rabbi Abba Bereder Pekiah Bar Ava. We had Rabbi Zera, who were sitting on the entry hall into Rabbi Yanai's house, and they were talking about this issue. They asked Rabbi Yanai, what is the din? You're allowed to kill Nechashim Va'akrabim on Shabbat, even though they're not after anyone. So he said to them, look, I mean, I kill even wasps on Shabbos, you know? So even though they're not as dangerous as a nochash or an akrav, so nochash v'akrav lo koshike. Now, Rabbi Yanai, I mean, was part of Rebbe's bezdin and so on. I mean, so it must be that Rebbe was saying this guy did the right thing in killing things that are dangerous to the Briyais. Well, that may mean that Rabbi Yanai was talking about the case where they come right in your way. That over there, he agrees. I'm not playing. It's more like a misasik. I'm just walking along. Now, all of a sudden, I see my foot's about to step on something. I don't even know whether for sure I'm going to kill it or whatever. So that's even less than a davashena miskave. Maybe that's what he meant. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, because look, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have somebody who spit on the ground, and then you note you're about to step on it. And when you step on it, it's very often the result will be that you're going to be mash vagumais because your shoe is going to cause the ground to be made smooth because of that. And therefore, as we said before, if you're indoors, that's considered to be baina. And if you're outdoors, it's considered to be a form of harisha. In any event, there's no problem. You can just continue walking on it. And even if it ends up being metakein the ground in that way, it wouldn't be a problem. And Rav Sheshe said about that also, that it would be a nachash in that way. You don't have to jump away and make sure you don't step on it. You're just basically walking along. So Dorsa Lefituma. And Rav Katina said you could do the same thing about an akrav. So you can't bring a raya from there because it may well be that that's what Rav Yanai was referring to. Masha Enke, this guy from Nayot, I mean, he went out to kill the thing. So maybe Rebbe said, you know, he's like a snake himself, this guy. Abba Bar Marta, who also has the name Abba Bar Minyumi, he owed money to the Reish Galusa. And the Reish Galusa did not go easy on loans. And they brought him and they started beating him up and coming tzari labor, giving him a rough time. They want their money back. Remember that the Avodim of the Reish Galuta were something of a mafioso. Now there was Havishadeh Ruka, and it was Shabbos, and there was some roke on the ground. And the Reish Galuta said, "Aitu mana sechifo leya, bring a bowl or something, and put it over the roke. It's disgusting, or maybe it was in a place where it was usur. Not clear what the usur was, but anyway, Abba Bar Marta said to them, you don't need to do that. See, somebody's going to trample on it, and in the end, it'll just disappear. Hachiam rebiyeta roke dor sola fituma." So then the Reish Galusa said, oh my gosh, this guy, you can't beat up this guy. This guy is a Tzur Mimirabana. Amalu Tzur Mimirabana Nushavku. Let this guy out of here, man. And stop driving him crazy. So, okay, this is like, I mean, very strange story. What he was allowing them to beat him up on Shabbos. Some say this was two completely different things. In other words, he owed them money, and they kept bringing him in and trying to get the money out of him. And then this happened on a Shabbos, and then he said to them, no more. Maybe something like that. We don't know, like, how mafioso these people were.